Have you ever heard the phrase, love is blind? Unfortunately, in the case of our story today, it proved to be true. On today's podcast, I will be exploring the twisted and deceitful tale of a male scammer who preys on innocent women by faking his father's death. With the help of his wife, this con man is able to pull off this heinous scheme. But how did he do it? How did he manage to convince so many women to give him money? And what was his ultimate goal? Join me today as I delve into the dark depths of this con man's mind and uncover the shocking truth behind his crimes. We will explore the psychological tactics he used to manipulate his victims, the elaborate web of lies he wove to cover his tracks, and the devastating impact his actions had on those who fell victim to his scheme. This is not just a story of crime. It's a story of betrayal, heartbreak, and the lengths some people will go to for money. So sit back, grab your headphones, and get ready to be taken on the journey into the mind of a con man. Welcome to The Con Man. You guys, I've been low-key against the AI hype, but I used AI to write that intro. I was like, AI, summarize my podcast, because I type out my podcast. I was like, AI, summarize my text in a murdery mystery podcast forum, and it did that. And I was like, hold up. Have you guys checked out the Are We Dating the Same Guy page, Las Vegas edition? It is at this point my daily newspaper. I'm not even going to lie. Even though no man that I've ever known has been posted by someone else, probably because I have like a very niche taste in men. And by niche, I mean like low-key losers and low-key ugly. But the worst stories are always accompanied by a screenshot of a guy's dating page. I think men on the dating apps are the worst men on the planet. I don't think that men that are all that great are on apps. I think men on the apps are the low-key bottom of the barrel and the thirstiest. That's just my experience. Most of the really great guys I meet in person, like I'll meet them at the bar and I'm like, are you on like Hinge or Tinder? And they're like, no, I don't really do apps. There's like sometimes like funny stories like, oh, this guy like asked me to split the check, even though over text he was saying he would never ever do that to a woman. But then there's like crazy stories sometimes like, oh, this guy's a felon and he was lying and I let him around my child. I read a story about a guy who worked at MGM and he lied and said he was in the October 1st shooting and that he was a millionaire from the payout, but he kept working for the hotel because he loved it so much. And then he tried to fight a 16-year-old lifeguard because she had drama with his daughter. But this story is a real doozy and we're going to call it The Con Man. Our character Naomi meets Sam at the bar. He's fit, handsome, and charming. The orthopedic surgeon, West Point graduate, and her instantly click while they discuss music and books. He floods her with messages while he's at work saying he can't wait to get off and see her. Naomi, recently divorced and having her guards up, is interested but scared to enter into something new. The two go on lavish dates, and about a month in, they meet up at Nobu, where they chat with the bartender Seth, a friend of Sam's who is friendly and flattering. He tells Naomi that she is just the kind of girl the bachelor needs. Sam runs a gym where bodybuilders and fitness influencers alike work out, and he's ready to settle down and focus on his passions, Seth tells her. Seth has even recently invested in the gym, trying to get out of the restaurant business. That night, while at Sam's house for the first time, Naomi decides it's time to let her guards down. She really feels like he could be the one. She wakes up to his phone ringing loudly. Sam sounds hysterical. His mother is on the phone from Hong Kong. Suddenly, the visions of the day they had planned out fade away. Their plans are canceled. Sam's father has died, and he needs to return to Hong Kong immediately. Sam is packing in a fury, his silk ties flying into his suitcase while he apologizes to Naomi for not being able to make it to the country club Memorial Day party. Naomi tells Sam not to worry about her and to just focus on his family. She's sympathetic and kind. He's sure to tell her this before kissing her and turning around after zipping up his suitcase. I want to give you a gift, he says, and the color drains from her face nervously. He takes off his watch, and the crown on the Rolex sparkles. Naomi originally declines the expensive watch, saying it's too much, but Sam persists, insisting that he wants her to have it. He says that when he gets back, they can trade it in for something more her taste. She feels crazy to think that he could be hinting at a ring even though they've only been on a few dates, but the thought makes her smile. He drops her off at home before he jets off to the airport. Naomi's talking to her mom on the phone when her Instagram suddenly starts going off with video calls and messages. When I first saw how many women this man scammed, I was shocked. Like, the line, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, is true. I'll say that much. Meaning, like, he's not really my type, but I'm sure the guys that I've fallen for, like, really quickly in a month or so aren't someone else's type. Meeting a man off the apps When I say I'm genuinely terrified of meeting a man off of dating apps, I'm not even kidding. It always susses me out. It's crazy to me that I was doing that when I was 18 years old, like just finding a guy on Tinder and walking to his house sometimes. If I'm getting ready for a Tinder date, I'm always worried, like, this guy could be a catfish. This guy could be a serial killer. Of course, a serial killer could easily pick me up at the bar or the club, but I feel like I'm really good at just assessing serial killer vibes in person. I'm not going to be able to like assess that over text, but in person, I'm like, oh no, I can't go hang out with this guy because he's probably a serial killer. But in general, like I'm really good at identifying red flags, keyword identifying red flags. I'm not good at caring about red flags, and there's a difference. Like I will find out what I need to find out. It probably just won't really change my opinion much of a person. Like I knew my ex committed armed robbery before he even confessed it to me, quote unquote. I just didn't really care. I'm also like a level 10 clinger. So if I was dating an orthopedic surgeon and he was always too busy for me, I would definitely be questioning it. You know, like you're not McDreamy, you're not saving lives or anything, like not to be a bitch, but you can definitely free up some time. You're an orthopedic surgeon. I also feel like I'm just too annoying for any man to like pull one over on. A scammer would probably get sick of me really early on and just stop messing with me. Or I would just be so confrontational that he would block me. But Naomi is a sweet soul, so the story continues. She picks up the video call from Sam, who is smiling but looks stressed outside of the airport in Hong Kong. He tells her he has no cell service because of the poor reception, so he's on Wi-Fi. She smiles and her and Sam exchange a virtual kiss. Naomi goes through the motions for the next few days, going to work, seeing friends, and staying busy. She's surprised when a week later, Sam reaches out again on Instagram video to check in. He tells her that he's been speaking to his family about Naomi, and he wishes she had just come to Hong Kong with him. Naomi asks Sam when he will be back to Vegas, and he tells her he might be staying a little longer. In the frenzy of packing, he forgot his cards and is struggling to get a ticket home. Naomi, missing Sam and wanting to see him sooner rather than later, offers to send him the money for a ticket. The two decide that she will wire the money to his mother, Hannah, and he'll buy the plane ticket in person with cash since it will be cheaper. He insists that as soon as Naomi meets him up at the airport, they head straight to Tiffany's and that she can still keep the watch. Naomi messages Sam asking him how his landing was, dressed and ready to pick him up from the airport. His message is short, but he responds quickly. Family emergency, we'll call you tomorrow. She frowns, her brow furrowing. Naomi sleeps badly that night, worried about what might be happening with Sam and his family. The next morning, he video calls her, his eyes red and looking even worse than when she last saw him in person. His mother has now passed, a sudden heart attack hours into the morning. She wants to cry for Sam, unable to imagine losing both parents in such a short amount of time. I was able to get my flight changed, but I will be out here for just a little longer. You're all I have now, he says. And even though she feels guilty for it, Naomi feels so happy knowing Sam is so dependent on her. She decides to still go out for the day. Why not? After a full day of shopping and fries, Caesar salad and Coke, she decides to go to her favorite bar, wanting a Moscow Mule to end her afternoon. Her Uber pulls up to the bar and Naomi spots a green Tesla, the exact same car Sam has. She had thought the color was odd and specific, thinking how niche he was not to do a color like black, but now she thinks to herself that maybe Sam isn't that eclectic. She watches as a blonde-haired girl in scrubs gets into the driver's seat and leaves the parking lot as Naomi enters the bar. She checks her Instagram. There are no messages from Sam, but that's expected. He's busy and dealing with a lot of loss. A week later, and Naomi still hasn't heard from Sam. She sent him 4 messages. She decides to call him, about to hang up as she realizes that only his Instagram is working in Hong Kong. He picks up on the 4th ring. Although it's 11 a.m. in Hong Kong, Sam sounds tired when he answers. Naomi's surprised that his phone is working. He tells her that it's been occasionally working and that he will call her back. Her mind races immediately. Was Sam lying to her? Has he just not been wanting to talk? She opens up Instagram and goes to Sam's page, knowing exactly what she is looking for. Almost immediately, she finds the blonde, a nurse emoji in the username. Naomi's heart drops when she clicks her page and sees the name, Hannah, the same name of the woman she sent a wire to for Sam's plane tickets, the same face of the woman who was in Sam's car. She doesn't know what to think. Is Sam married? Is she the other woman? She is unable to sleep soundly that night. She decides to think about it and not act on pure impulse and confront Sam immediately. She wakes up calmer, thinking that maybe Hannah is Sam's sister who has the same name as his mother. She decides to wait for him to respond to her text, and what better place to wait than Nobu? Speaking of Nobu, Nobu has a bomb passion fruit margarita, which I recreated because I needed something to sip on while recording this episode. And if you want a video for that, tell me, because like I said, this story is a lot. I'm gonna go on a tangent. I see the Cheesecake Factory debate, and I'll talk about why I wouldn't want to be taken to the Cheesecake Factory as a first date, but first. Nobu literally has a happy hour Monday through Thursday, which is pretty affordable, and just like Nobu, there are so many bomb-ass restaurants that have great deals for a first date if money is the reason you're choosing the Cheesecake Factory. But if a girl or guy was like, hey, for our first date, do you want to go to the Cheesecake Factory at 5 p.m. on Thursday? I would counterpoint politely and be like, hey, maybe we should go to Steak and Said. It's in the neighborhood, and they have $7 cocktails. I wouldn't want to be taken to the Cheesecake Factory as a first date because I refuse to go somewhere where you took 50 other bitches as our first date. I need a unique experience. It is so gross. Like, the Cheesecake Factory is a graveyard filled with a middle-class man's failed relationship. It's not about the money for me. It's about catering and being interested in what I like and my food taste. If someone was genuinely interested in me, they wouldn't take me to Cheesecake Factory because anyone who's known me for even like a day knows I love Mexican food. Italian is like number 5 on my types of food that I like. Taking me to Cheesecake Factory is like buying me a shot of Grey Goose. Like, get it out of my face. I don't want it. And it's not about the price because like I drink Casamigos and well tequila, but anyone knows me knows that I'm not drinking vodka. I pulled a lot of the story together from a website and Facebook post I read about this man. And I will say, like, I did string everything together for a narrative plot, like for artistic and clarity reasons, but none of this story is a lie. This man accumulated $3 million in scam money. And this scam that he does in this story is just one of his many, many scams. It was hard for me to decide which of his scams to talk about because his personality ranges from like crypto bro to like being a cancer patient, like faking cancer. So if you want another story on Sam, please let me do. Please let me know. I will admit, I have done some creepy stuff to gather information about guys from like their friends and stuff. Like, I've had friends get to know my boyfriend's friends without mentioning we know each other to see if they can find out things like through his friends. Cause you know, like guys like to gossip sometimes, like we've all done weird things. And if people are like, I've never looked at a person's Instagram stalking, stop lying or send me your therapist info because I can't stop doing it. Like, I have 3 different accounts. Sometimes it has happened and I've looked into a guy and I didn't really need to cause he was genuinely a good guy. But Naomi has reason to worry. He's been spotty with his communication. Hong Kong flights are pricey, so I don't know how much exactly she sent him for a plane ticket. Naomi goes into Nobu with pure intentions, thinking that maybe Seth will be working there and he'll drop a hint or two about what Sam is up to. The most she would do is ask if Sam had been in before he left Hong Kong. Naomi asks to sit at the bar and the hostess nods over and points to the empty bar where Seth is polishing glasses. She asks for a martini. Without looking up, Seth asks her if she is currently with Sam. She feels slightly embarrassed when she says no. In that case, you can sit and it's on the house, Seth answers, looking up with a smile. Over the course of 2 martinis, Seth tells Naomi that while he has seen Sam's lavish Hong Kong vacation, he hasn't heard from him in days, since he gave Samuel $40,000 in cash. Not only has he not heard from Sam, but the gym hasn't had electricity and employees are gossiping about bounced checks. Seth points at the watch Naomi is wearing, joking that she could pawn it and pay her boyfriend's electricity bill at the gym. After the martinis and hearing more from Seth about people from the gym who also invested in Sam and believed in him, Naomi decides it's her job to fix this. She leaves quickly, going to a watch shop near her house, handing over the gold to the older man. He leaves to the back and Naomi paces, wondering just what she has gotten herself into. I'm sorry, ma'am, this is a great replica, but the most I could give you is $200, and that's being generous. She turns around quickly, shocked and angrier than ever. Finally, she takes out her phone, pulling up RN Hannah Santos on Instagram, and she furiously types out a message. Your husband scammed me, along with several other people. I am reaching out in hopes you can get us some answers. Hannah replies almost instantly. Hello, I'm currently out of the country at the moment. As far as Sam, he just needs space. You know he just lost his parents recently. I hope you get your answer soon. Naomi lets out an exasperated sigh, tired of the lies. The money was wired to your account, Hannah. Are you sure Sam has been honest with you about where his money come from? Yes, Sam is always honest and truthful. Good day. that is the end of Naomi's story. Sam is still scamming people in many states. He's in California. He's in Colorado. This man is globe trotting and he's getting away with it. If you're curious and you want to learn more about Sam, you can go to SamuelJChoi.com. Choi, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name wrong. C-H-O-I. Look him up. Look up his story. It's a lot. If you guys want a Sam the Scammer series, tell me. I love narrating these kinds of things. You guys have a great day. Have a great evening.